A mostly cloudy sky and 71 degrees at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need live and local. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Scott Hayes. It is 10:07.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local present the on-air chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter and Aaron Harter.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the on-air chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. And CB Financial, Craig Barnwell feels the income is the outcome that matters. Call 620-208-6777 for a free consultation. And as has been the case for the last few weeks, Ron Thomas is hosting with me. Good morning, Ron.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
Doing great. How can you not be doing great on a beautiful morning like this? Once again, what a nice stretch of weather we've had, and mornings have been flawless.
And more to come.
Yeah, going to be 87 for the next 4 days.
Yeah, that's an easy forecast, isn't it?
Sunny and 87.
Yeah. Well, we have another Spotlight on Philanthropy via the ESU Foundation. Today's topic is mobilizing literacy, and we have a plethora of guests. I'm just going to welcome them in order, and then we can get to each of them as we have some questions prearranged here. Greg Bachman. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
Doing well.
You hang on tight. We'll be back with you. Tasia Markowitz. Tasia, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, our
Thanks
pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Dr. Joan Brewer. Dr. Joanne Brewer. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Dr. Lori Mann. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Shane Shively. Good morning.
Well, hello. How is everybody?
Doing great. You?
All right, Shane. How are you?
87 and sunny.
That's it. You got. You're hired.
All right, we're going to start with Tasia. Tasia is an ESU alum, got her master's in early childhood special education, birth to eight at ESU. She was a teacher at Logan Avenue Elementary in Timmerman in Emporia, and then she spent 4 years down in South Lyon County at USD 252, and she recently stepped into a new role. Tasia, what's your new role?
Well, it's exciting. I am the new executive director of the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center, and we also oversee the Mobilizing Literacy Grant through the Jones Foundation.
Give us a quick snapshot of the Mobilizing Literacy Grant.
Oh, my goodness. Quick. I don't have enough time for quick, right?
You're fine.
It covers everything. The Mobilizing Literacy Grant, I don't know how much detail you want, but we just finished up the first 5 years, and we're rolling into the next 5 years. So the Jones Foundation knew that this would be a multi-year grant to get the work done, and it has impacted youth and families, communities across the Tri-County area. I think that's the key there, that we want to make sure everybody knows that it covers the 11 school districts in Osage, Lyon, and Coffee County. And the impact for early childhood has been tremendous.
It says it's focused specifically on school readiness, summer learning, and attendance. Is that for preschool age kids or K through 8 or K through 12?
That's a good question. So in the beginning, those three areas are exactly what the goal was. But as time has gone, the impact for early learning has been evident that that's the most bang for the buck. And so everybody, all the districts have jumped on board, and really the focus is early literacy, birth to five, and then we're adding on early education really encompasses birth to age eight, and so it covers that whole area. So the goal being getting all of our kiddos in the Tri-County area reading on grade level by third grade. The research shows that if children are not reading on grade level, about 70% of those kiddos, if they are not reading on grade level, will either not graduate from high school or they will graduate quite a bit later.
What about the cooperation you've seen with these schools you've been working with, Tasia? Has it been good? I mean, are they truly on board with this?
Absolutely. Yeah, better than good. It's the best collaboration I've seen. In the beginning, the school districts would get together several times throughout the year, share ideas, and it really grew from there. You know, the best educators in the world, they beg, borrow, and steal from each other. And that's exactly what we have done here. We have shared ideas, and it's really grown. It's amazing.
How many of those school districts have started a pre-K program? I know Opie, did you guys start one since 2016?
Yeah. So here's the scoop on that. So many of the school districts in the Tri-County area may have had preschool that would be only for students who would qualify, such as at-risk. There's an at-risk criteria by the state, or for an IEP with special needs. And what this has allowed, mobilizing literacy has allowed, is that all of the districts have been able to expand to provide universal preschool, which means all children have the opportunity to go. And most of the time that's free. Some of the different districts also provide tuition assistance. There is one district that is still working on getting their preschool open, and they are doing that next year. So we're so thrilled for them. But they are able to offer tuition assistance to some of the families in their district who attend a private preschool, since their public preschool isn't available.
And how important is that for the pre-K kids? Because you mentioned IEP, those kids are probably easy to pick out, but at-risk kids, I mean, their learning curve when they're pre-K is probably the same as a non-at-risk kid. So how important is it to be able to include all kids?
It is. It's the big changer there. All children deserve the same opportunity. We know that the gap starts from birth. All children need high-quality language exposure and exposure to literacy and just even routines. As you know, COVID kind of threw a kink in everything the past year and a half. And so it's amazing that all the children in the Tri-County area have this opportunity.
So how are the kids targeted or the families targeted? How do you reach out to them, make sure that the families are aware that this is available and can be useful to them? How does that work, Tasia?
Sure. So each school district has designed their own action plan, which is what has been amazing about the Jones Foundation opportunity here. Because each community is unique, and all of the needs are slightly different. Early literacy, you know, it's all a moving target as the needs change from year to year. And so if families are wondering what's available to them, I would reach out to their local school district, or obviously they could call us here and we could fill them in. But each community is doing something just slightly to meet the needs of each community.
So they come up with an action plan each year, and that's how you guys kind of track all the data?
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, I know oftentimes, the information is out there, but at some point, some of these families have to be reached out to because they are just unaware of what might be available within their school district. So
there is
a lot.
Being here on the radio is great. We can reach a few more people this way.
Well, before we move on, Tasia, let's talk a little bit about the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center. You were a literacy center. You were the assistant director since 2019. And as we mentioned at the top here, you're now the executive director. Let's talk about the Masonic Literacy Center at Emporia State, your mission there.
Sure. Our mission is that all Kansans are literate. And we are doing that by focusing on children, birth to age 5, and the adults who surround them. We really want to make sure if we encourage the adults, whether that's the caregiver, the provider, the parents, grandparents, with some early literacy skills, and that's going to help all of the children in Kansas. Therefore, all Kansans will be literate.
Well, and the Kansas Masons really came up big with the funding here, didn't they?
Absolutely. We are very fortunate.
All right. So, Tasia, thank you very much.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah, this morning, we're not near done yet, Aaron.
No, we are not, Ron. Let's bring in Greg real quick, because obviously the mobilizing literacy grant would not be possible without the WS and EC Jones Trust. Greg, everybody knows, is him and his wife Karen are owners of PT Associates and Emporia Fitness. I guess you could probably say Rachel's probably a part owner of that as well now, since she's came in and joined the team as a physical therapist. Greg is one of the board members of the Jones Trust and Foundation. Greg, who came up with the idea, and how did it become so important for you guys to fund this program?
Well, it came up as a group effort. I think the importance of it is, you know, oftentimes the Jones Trust is involved in providing financial resources for groups and organizations that maybe have a problem and needs money to help resolve it. And mobilizing literacy is viewed more as an opportunity to change a generation, where rather than waiting until there's an extended problem, invest the money in the school districts so that the children become literate, and as Tasia mentioned, you know, helps reduce a lot of problems down the road.
Well, we know that you're busy at the WS&EC Jones Trust. That name is out there a lot, involved with many groups, many organizations, many fundraising efforts here in Emporia. Greg, tell us about the makeup of the board.
So the trust and the foundation are essentially two entities. The trust has an advisory committee, which I'm part of, and it's made up of six members representing the three counties, Lyon, Coffee, and Osage counties. And that really is intended to serve or to respond to groups, organizations, versus the foundation is made up of a board of directors, which provides funds to individuals such as the educational and medical needs of youth in the three counties.
And the foundation is where the $1,000 scholarship goes to for any area resident?
Right. The vouchers go through the foundation, and the mobilizing literacy money is actually funded through the trust.
Okay. So you guys are, this is, I don't know exactly when in 2021 the first 5 years ends, but obviously you guys have re-upped for another 5 years. What are some of the things that you've seen up to this point that's impressed you guys with the project in order to re-up it?
Right. Well, I think the two things, I think Tasia has probably addressed these already, but I'm fortunate I'm able to sit in on some of the yearly meetings that all the superintendents and representatives from the districts come to, and so I've been able to firsthand hear the reports and the data that's showing that there's already been changes made within the first 5 years, and so that certainly inspired us to continue this and to make sure this continues to grow. You know, the other thing we've seen, again, as you mentioned this, is just that the cooperation between all the school districts. It's, you know, some of the smaller school districts are always, I think everybody's looking for money in the school districts, but some of the smaller districts really need collaboration to get the most of the money that they receive. So it's, you know, something we feel very strongly about, that it's making a difference in the community, and we're glad to continue to support this.
Yeah, that's a big up, another 5 years, and that's very important, because obviously you have to look at the metrics and see how everyone's performing, and making sure that you're headed down the right path. And Greg, we hear a lot about WS&EC Jones. The name is out there. If there are groups, organizations, individuals that would like more information on the trust, your mission, and how to apply, and what you can apply for, how can they acquire that information?
Well, a couple ways. Probably the easiest way is to go locally through a foundation. Sharon Tidwell is the executive director of the foundation, and that's located here in Emporia. The trust is managed through Bank of America in Kansas City, and I do not know the email address off my head for that. But if you contact the foundation here in Emporia, we can get you all the information you need.
Yeah, I think there's a website as well with some info on it if you just Google it.
Correct.
Okay, well, let's take our first break, Ron. We got a lot more to get to. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by CB Financial and Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We're live and local.
Hi, Craig Barnwell with CB Financial. I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. I can help you get the most sustainable income out of your Social Security, your 401ks, your IRAs, and your brokerage account. When you know what's coming in this month, next month, and every month, you'll be able to enjoy retirement to the fullest. Give me a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. Retire happy, retire with CB Financial. You can reach us at 620-208-6777.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 342-5001.
It's grown live and local. Don't miss the Emporia Farmers Market, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM.
The one you depend on, KVOE, 1400 a.m., 96.9 FM, live and a local. It's time now for a check of local headlines being brought to you by the Insurance Planning Center. See Roger Winfrey for commercial lines or Barb Christiani for personal lines at the Insurance Planning Center with offices in Emporia and Eureka. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everybody. Emporia Fire and Emporia Police responded to three different injury crash reports from early evening yesterday to early overnight hours today. The first one, which happened to be the most significant situation, involved two vehicles at Commercial and Logan. Emporia Fire says one of the vehicles, after impact, then traveled through a field and wedged under a trailer home. The driver of that vehicle extricated, taken to Newman Regional Health. Second vehicle wreck happened at 6th and Rural. One person taken to Newman Regional Health there. A car and semi wreck that happened outside of Hill's Pet Nutrition early this morning wound up with both patients declining hospital trips. Speaking of emergency response, crews from several departments and Lyon County deputies helped to put out a fire late last night at 2294 Road 40, but not before that home was destroyed. The investigation continues there. And street work is pending here at 6th and East after a water line failed late yesterday afternoon. No word yet as to when that will be fully repaired and traffic can return back to normal. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunshine for much of the day today with a high of 82 degrees. Clear tonight and 65. Sunny and 87 for tomorrow, and 87 again for Friday. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. We are seeing an 8-mile-an-hour southeast wind, a mostly cloudy sky, and 73 degrees. Headlines, a service of the Insurance Planning Center, 726 Commercial, downtown Emporia, just east of Jimmy John's. Things happen, and IPC is there to help when they do. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Mobilizing Literacy via the ESU Foundation is our spotlight on philanthropy today. We're going to bring Dr. Joanne Brewer in. She began her tenure at ESU in 2001 as an adjunct instructor in health, physical education, and recreation, became an assistant professor in 2001, associate in 07, was the interim chair, and in early 2020, which was not that long ago, she became dean of the Teachers College. Good morning again.
Good morning.
The prestigious Teachers College, Aaron.
That's right.
At Emporia State. That's right, yeah.
Well, Dr. Joanne Brewer, just give us a quick bio on your education and then when you came back to Emporia.
So let's see. Actually, my bachelor's degree and my master's degree are from Emporia State University. And then I taught at Kansas Wesleyan University, actually, for 5 years and ultimately completed my doctorate through Kansas State University, and I came back to Emporia State University. I just love Emporia, and I love Emporia State.
What was your doctorate in? Did you plan on becoming a dean?
Well, my doctorate was in curriculum instruction, educational technology. And, you know, I can't say that I ever saw myself when I first started becoming a dean. It's just where my career path has led me, but I do feel that it's a role in which I can really help support faculty, staff, and students complete their roles here at the university.
How's everything going at the Teachers College?
You know, it's actually going very well. It's so exciting to have students back on campus. There's just kind of a new energy and I think a new appreciation for being able to get back together, even though, you know, right now it's pretty much outdoor kinds of activities that we're doing. It's just a good feel, and I definitely think people are excited.
Well, Dr. Brewer, let's broad stroke it here to kick things off. What are your goals, main goals for the Teachers College?
I think one thing is for sure to continue offering the high quality programs that we do. We are well known for producing quality teachers for the state of Kansas. But not only that, we also have programs in health and human performance. We put out a number of exceptional graduates in that area. We have sport leadership and recreation, athletic training, psychology, rehabilitation studies. So, you know, lots of things in those areas for sure. We definitely want to put a focus on enrollment and growing enrollment, finding resources to continue supporting students through scholarships, and again, continue offering those high-impact learning opportunities. We're pretty well known for getting students out with practicum and internship experiences so that they have some experiences as they enter the career world, and that's really been helpful for those individuals.
What is the Teachers College involvement and role with mobilizing literacy, Dr. Brewer?
Well, the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center is actually located within the Teachers College at Emporia State University. And, you know, of course, under that umbrella is the mobilizing literacy piece. So we are very connected with that and super supportive of that. There's nothing more important, really, than increasing the literacy and the kindergarten readiness of our youth as they step into school. I'm really excited about a piece that we've added to mobilizing literacy, and Dr. Lori Mann will be able to speak more closely to that, which is the literacy bridge. It's a tutoring piece, and it strongly connects our faculty and our pre-service educators into mobilizing literacy. A couple of benefits will be that it not only supports the students in the Tri-County area, but it will also help in the preparation of our pre-service teachers in literacy and reading.
That's a perfect segue. Let's bring in Dr. Lori Mann. Good morning again.
Good morning again. Well, I'm really excited to be here, and I want to just follow up with what Dr. Brewer was talking about. We have been very busy getting this all put into place, and right now, during the fall semester, we're actually in a pilot program where we are taking one of those practicum classes and using that as kind of the beginning stage of this tutoring that we're planning to have. I've started talking about this almost like a little army of ESU tutors out there. Maybe the Hornet Army is out there. We're really excited about the potential of this and the fact that we've already experienced practicums and working with the school districts is really helping us. But I think right now one of the things that we're doing is trying to look at how to make that more seamless. We're calling our tutoring connection the Literacy Bridge. So we hope to kind of advertise that and help people really learn about that bridge so that when there is a need, whether it's at the school or even a homeschool family, a private school family, anybody who has a need will eventually be able to know where to go to get that connection to a tutor, and it might be an undergraduate, as we're using right now. In the future, we think there'll even be some graduate students who are already teachers in the field and maybe working on a specialist in reading, and that'll add to that also. That gives us another level of training and also high impact for the children in our communities in the Tri-County area.
So is this something that the students can volunteer for to be a tutor, or is it part of their curriculum?
Yes, and that's kind of what we're trying to define this semester, how that will all work. But right now we are using students. There are 46 students in our PDS, our professional development school, Block 2 placements, who use, they have always worked with children in the schools and done a little bit of tutoring, but we've actually increased that to the point where it is more instruction this year, so we're excited about that, with the opportunity then to volunteer to continue on. But we have actually been able to have funding now for scholarships, and those scholarships will be provided to our tutors who work with the students. So right now we're working with senior students, but eventually we really see this as being available to younger students all the way up to the grad students, and money provided through graduate assistantships, through tutoring placements, and those can come from volunteers.
So bring Tasia Tasia Markowitz back on. She's the executive director of the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center, which handles the Mobilizing Literacy Grant. Tasia, so prior to the Literacy Bridge happening, you guys just helped coordinate with all of the area preschools, essentially, and they did all the instruction?
Yes. We provided consultation and resources for the school district as needed, and then now this is the next layer, and we're, you know, it couldn't come at a better time, especially, you know, post-pandemic, when we know that as hard as we've worked, there's going to be some gaps that we need to fill.
And Dr. Brewer, how important is it to get the students at the Teachers College involved in this as well?
Oh, I think it's going to be an exceptional experience for them. It'll just give them that bit more hands-on experience in working with youth and literacy and reading, and just prepare them that much more for when they have their own classrooms.
And Shane hadn't gone this long without talking probably in his entire life. But Shane, that's one of those high-impact learning situations right there, isn't it?
Yeah, we call that a high-impact learning situation. In all sincerity, the partnerships that exist between the Jones Trust, the Teachers College of Emporia State, and the local school districts, I mean, it really is a formula to attack and address a very adaptive challenge that we have with literacy. So it is exciting to see the partnership exist and continue and grow stronger. And I believe that we'll see it. And, you know, Greg mentioned a little bit about generational change. And it takes time, and we've got time, but we're going to be able to track this and hopefully look back in a few years and say, you know what, this really did exactly what we hoped it would. And it's for the benefit of the youth of the three counties, but those youth hopefully will stick around the area and make for more vibrant communities within those three counties.
We should mention that Shane Shively is the president, CEO of the Emporia State Foundation and Emporia State Vice President for Advancement with us here on the program. And the grant itself, Shane, from the W.S. and E.C. Jones Trust, how much was it? How much is it?
the investment that they provide is right about $500,000 annually, and again that is over a 5-year period as far as the investment that we're talking about. So, you know, this is one of those opportunities that, you know, a good majority of the resources land directly within the classrooms itself. There is a component within this next phase, which is the scholarshiping of some of our students and involving some of our most talented students in the classrooms, just as Dr. Mann described. And so, you know, the upside of continued investment in allowing these partners to work together, that's where the magic happens. And, you know, kudos to those involved with the Jones Trust for seeing that. And we've talked quite a bit about our strategic plan at the university, as well as the initiative as far as the Jones Trust and the why that was established by the Jones brothers.
You said $500,000 annually?
That's correct, yeah.
Speaking of high impact,
that
is it right there.
That's a high impact right there.
No doubt about that. Dr. Mann, what are some of the most significant impacts you've seen regarding level of kindergarten readiness as these youngsters have been able to take advantage of these programs now enter kindergarten?
You know, as we talk to the schools, I am hearing that. I just joined this summer, and we are in about week 4, I think, right now, of getting our tutoring piece up and rolling this fall. But I know that the schools have seen that, you know, we've had some dips in things with all the changes in the school setting. So I know that they have been very fortunate and feel that to have these connections, because they see children taking advantage, families are taking advantage of getting their children paired up with a program, and they are seeing that impact. I think we'll be excited and interested to actually track some of that with the tutors that we have
we'll be able to gather information pre and post to see just how much impact our students have from ESU as they tutor on those elementary students. And that's been a piece that has been kind of hard to get your hands on because we all work in our own entities and that information is private, but with us having that combination going with the school, we're going to be able to follow that a little better and actually see that impact. So we really do expect to be able to even start seeing that this semester.
Tasia, can you feel this being impactful, though, from what you've seen so far?
Yes, absolutely. You know, some highlights of the past 5 years have been that the preschool enrollment has, and childcare. So some of these communities, as you may know, rural communities have a childcare desert. There are not very many childcares available, and some of the school districts have taken upon themselves to offer that service to the families. And I think it's important to note that we have gone from an enrollment of around 500 to almost 750 over the past several years. It's increased that much. So we are reaching more children every year. And with this next layer of the literacy bridge, we can continue to provide that support between the university, the students who are learning to be educators, and then the families and children that need a little extra support.
Tasia, I know Dr. Mann just joined with the literacy bridge this year, but has the data been able to back up great results? I know if you started in 2016, some of those kids aren't yet at third grade in that third grade reading level that you're looking for, but have you been able to track it year by year and seen increases?
Yes, we have been able to see increases. More children are entering kindergarten, as we would say, kindergarten ready or school ready. They're meeting those benchmarks. Some of the things that we look for in early literacy would be ability to rhyme, ability to hear sounds and words, take those apart. And you know, we really want to make sure that our families know that they're the number one. They're the first teachers. And so we try to provide that support. You know, another piece that has added to the success is the great amount of professional development that has been available to early childhood educators, home providers who do child care in their home, and center providers. All of the Tri-County communities have provided either collaboration with their local child cares or the private preschools. You know, some organizations have a private preschool. And so sharing that vocabulary, the language, the professional development, so that all children are on the same page, has been really eye-opening and getting all players on the same field.
So mobilizing literacy with the new literacy bridge program, tutoring program, that's available to not only like a Maynard, but it's also available to someone that's watching six kids?
So the Literacy Bridge is, at this point, a pilot program, and it's still primarily focused with our children that are K-2. Our students at Emporia State University need the opportunity to educate school-age children. So we kind of have those two layers. The main focus before, with mobilizing literacy, I'll just say that term, was birth to five, summer learning, and retention. And then now we're adding on just another piece to increase the opportunity for literacy.
Dr. Brewer, the direction that most kids go is either elementary or 6 through 12. Some people specialize in middle school. Some people specialize in high school. Has there ever been a specialization in pre-K?
Yes, we actually have. Our pre-K is a master's level program, a graduate level. There are two options. There's the birth through 8 and the birth through K. option that individuals can explore, but those are right now graduate level. But we do, yes, have individuals enrolled in that program.
And are most of those folks going directly to a preschool?
Yes, some kind of preschool setting.
Have you with the increase in the awareness of how important those 3 and 4 year olds' education is and literacy is, have you guys seen a big increase in that?
It varies. I think we will see more individuals considering that option. Also, the other thing that the state is looking at doing is creating an option for pre-K through 6. Right now, the elementary education licensure is K to 6. The state is exploring that K to 6 option, and so we will be exploring that as well at the undergraduate level.
And do you see, I know it's an indirect impact, and it wasn't the point of mobilizing literacy or the literacy bridge, but with these students going in and helping these littles learn how to read at the proper levels, do you see that paying off in the long run? You know, when everybody's young, they get impacted one way or another, and I could see some of these students having so much fun with, or some of these young ones having so much fun with these students, maybe they want to be an educator.
Yes, definitely. I see a lot of benefits with the Literacy Bridge tutoring program and mobilizing literacy in general. The better job that we can do catching any of those needs when it comes to literacy and reading early in a child's lifetime, the better they're going to do throughout school and at success in life in general, in profession. So, you know, I do see huge benefits from this.
Let's take our second break here. We'll come back, wrap up the program. You're listening to the On Air Chat, brought to you by CB Financial and Bruce Davis Construction on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Income is the outcome that matters most in retirement. I'm Craig Barnwell with CB Financial, and I've been in retirement and wealth planning for over 25 years. If I doubled your portfolio, that might not change your lifestyle. You'd still be you. However, if I doubled your income, that could make a significant impact on your retirement. So whether you're retired or you want to see how soon that can happen, give us a call to set up a free, no-obligation visit. You can reach us at 620-208-6777. That's 620-208-6777. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 342-5001.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email KVOE at KVOE.com and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local.
KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM live and local. It's time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you to, go where you want. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. The Kansas City Royals rallied from a 6-0 deficit to outscore the Oakland A's 10-7 last night. Hunter Dozier, a solo home run. Salvador Perez, a 3-run home run. And Kyle Isbell, a 2-run home run to help power the Royals' offense. Royals and A's play again tonight. Mike Minor on the mound for the Royals. First pitch at 7:10. You can hear the game here on KVOE following Hawk Talk. Kansas City Royals promoting general manager Dayton Moore to president of baseball operations and longtime assistant GM J.J. Bacola to general manager yesterday. Emporia High boys soccer team shutting out Topeka Hayden 1-0 last night on Jeffy Lanier's lone goal. It came with 14:32 to play in the second half. Spartans now 4-1 on the season. They go to Highland Park Thursday. Emporia High's volleyball team defeating Manhattan in 3 sets, losing to Topeka Seaman in 2 sets. Their record now 10-3 on the season. They'll host a triangular on Thursday. Emporia High girls golf team finished 2nd at Newton, led by Avery Eckert, who placed 2nd individually. Olivia Eckert finished 5th, and Ella Fessler finished in 15th place. Emporia High girls tennis team placing 4th at the end over Central Quad. Individually, for Emporia High, the number 2 doubles team of Ashlyn Foraker and Kaylee Reynoso finished second. The number 1 doubles team of Kaylin Velasquez and Lily Frank finished third. Both singles players, Darian Chadwick and Jaden Burke, finished fourth. Emporia High Gymnastics team placing fifth out of seven teams at Olathe South Invitational yesterday. Individually, Cadence Vincent, eighth on the vault, 10th on the beam. Journey Walburn, eighth on the floor, 13th all around. Hadley Mertens, 15th on the beam. Lacey Cooper, 15th all around. Emporia State women's soccer team ranked number 6 in this week's national coaches poll. Mackenzie DeMarco's named the MIAA's offensive player of the week, while Joni Westcoat's been named the defensive player of the week. That's Look at Sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports headlines, a service of Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com. KBOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Tasia Markowitz, the Executive Director of the Kansas Masonic Literary Center. Dr. Joanne Brewer, the Dean of the Teachers College. Dr. Lori Mann, who is helping with the Literacy Bridge Program. And Shane Shively, the President and CEO of the ESU Foundation, are our guests. We let Greg go earlier. We'd kind of asked him all the Jones questions because we knew he had to get back to work. But Shane, we kind of started with Greg on how this all came about. But what made it easy for them to pick ESU to kind of run this program?
Well, Aaron, I would look at the other personalities on the call and talk about the history and the tradition and the excellence of our Teachers College at Emporia State. You know, not only is the Jones Trust investing in and partnering with, but the Masons of Kansas have also looked at Emporia State and said, this is something that we can do, and we can do at a high level. And that's really where the conversation started.
Was it kind of a no-brainer since we had the Literacy Center set and ready to go?
Well, I mean, you can ask me if it was a no-brainer. To me, it does give you a little bit of pause because you think of it and say, you know, what if we would have done this 20 years ago? What would today look like? However, you can't ever go back in time. And so we're just appreciative of, you know, the groups coming together when they did. And the Masons, you know, as we were having those discussions about the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center, we were actually running those conversations in parallel with the Jones Trust initially. And so, you know, one didn't know about the other, but we did. We were kind of moving in the same direction. And so, you know, we have been at this for a little over 6 years, and I think we've shown tremendous progress and excited about the next few years and the progress that we'll show there.
Well, Shane, where did the mobilizing literacy, the concept, come to lay in front of the WS and EC Jones Trust Foundation? I mean, there had to be a plan in place. I mean, maybe one of our other guests can answer this question, but to have a plan, here's what we want to accomplish, here's what we want to do in place before, you know, the ask came to the foundation, how did that all work?
Yes, I wish I could answer that in about 30 seconds, and that wouldn't be fair to all of those involved because, you know, you go back again, I'm going to go back 7 years ago because the grant's been in place for about six, and, you know, we had each one of the superintendents from the districts involved. We had, you know, members of the board from the Jones Trust. We had some of the Masons involved. We had third-party literacy experts involved, and we started just with a blank slate in a discussion. And we hosted many of those in our community, many of them even on our campus. And we didn't know initially where we were going. We knew we had an adaptive problem, and it's not unique to this region. It's not unique to Kansas, but we thought we could be leaders in this area. And I can make the argument today that we are positioned just to do that very thing. And with our partners, specifically with the Masons, they their initiative is statewide. And so what we're doing in the three counties is more than a blessing, because we are setting the bar. And Tasia, you might be able to speak to this a bit better than I can, but I believe there are other counties out there and likely other states that are watching us in a almost a jealous type way, because, like I say, the issue is not unique to our area. We're just proactive in addressing it.
Well, I can certainly see other states and universities certainly keeping a close eye on the concept, you know, to see how well it's working, and it's something that they would want to possibly adapt. So being a leader in this field is obviously shining right here for Emporia State. Should mention, too, because I don't think we have, with the Kansas Masonic Literacy Center, we talked about the Masons, but that was established at Emporia State January 2017. That's a 10-year, $4 million gift from the Kansas Masons, which was pretty outstanding.
Yeah, another great gift, and having the center here and having Tasia there is obviously paying dividends already. Tasia, let's talk a little bit about what goes into a yearly action plan that each of these 11 school districts that you guys serve.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, the wonderful thing about this opportunity is that each district can, you know, fine-tune it to meet the needs each year. As you've heard Shane say, it is an adaptive challenge. With children and education, the bar is always moving a little bit. So each district comes up with their goals for each year. And it's nice because we have a trail going back all the way so they can look and see what their progress has been year after year after year. And then we check in with them. They provide the data for us, and we also help support data collection and analysis for them. And then from there, we're also moving into this next step where we're doing a little bit of professional development with specific school districts to work on the needs that we're seeing from the data. So we're excited to add in that piece too.
And that professional development, does that qualify for some of the teacher credits?
You know, we're still working on some of that. At this point, we do offer through our center here, we do offer professional development for Kansas Department of Health hours. They're called KDHE hours. But we also have one course that is worth a college credit. That was a good question.
So a yearly action plan, I'll just take Maynard, for instance, or USD 253, they'll come and they'll say, we want to increase we want to be able to accept 10 more kids, and can we get $50,000 or something like that? Or is it, here's our plan, here's what we're going to teach each and every day in order to increase literacy with the kids we already have?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of both of those. Again, some of the districts are, in the beginning, it was finding a way to include all children in early childhood opportunities. And our data from fall of 2020 shows that out of all of the children entering kindergarten in the Tri-County area, 86% of those children attended preschool or some type of early learning opportunity, that's remarkable. That's outstanding. And so many of the communities have added preschool rooms. They've added additional classrooms. Early on, so you kind of understand, four-year-old preschool was kind of like the minimum, was a normal. You wanted to go to four-year-old preschool. Now there's another layer of three-year-old preschool, but there hasn't always been funding available. And so what's great is that many of the districts have added three-year-old preschool and four-year-old preschool. They've also been able to expand it to be universal, which we spoke about earlier. In addition, some of these communities have some trouble with transportation, especially when you're thinking preschool is half a day. So you've got to get them there in the morning and get them home, and you know, around lunchtime. And so several of the districts have also used the funding to help transport children to and from. And so each, like I said, each community is very unique in how they write their action plan.
Well, I think go ahead, Tasia.
I was just going to say, did that answer your question?
Yeah, answered it really well. And I know you said there's a district that's just starting up. Is that the last one? Are all 11 going to be on board come next year?
Yeah, we just have one district left that has, you know, starting a preschool is a lot of work, and it's expensive. You have to have a space and to provide your educator, and so again, it's all about the funding that the school districts have. And I think you heard Greg mention that earlier, that the needs of each community also depends on the size of the school. And when you look at the counties or the school districts, in the Tri-County area, you have, you know, school districts as large as 253, and then you have school districts that have, you know, a lower enrollment just due to their location. So we're excited. There's one last school district to add a public preschool.
And I don't remember if it was Dr. Brewer or Shane or Dr. Mann that mentioned it, but the collaboration kind of all the school districts where they used to kind of just be on their own, but now you guys can at least see it all. Do you give pointers to some school districts maybe have some things that are working better than others, so you kind of switch it up year to year?
Again, the school districts share. They're open about sharing this information with each other. I think what's been amazing about this process is it's no longer these are my kids, these are your kids from the district's perspective. They're all our kids. In the Tri-County area, all of the children here are going to be our future leaders. And so looking at it from that perspective has really helped the district join arms to really tackle early literacy and to get all of the children ready for kindergarten so we can just keep moving the needle forward. And one of the really unique things, too, I have seen is there's been teachers, there's been administrators, superintendents who have gone to each other's schools to visit, to see what does it look like to have an early childhood center on site. Some of our school districts even provide childcare for infants, which finding childcare for infants is tough anywhere. So that's pretty unique. Also learning about different curriculums that each district is using has been a great resource for each other. I could go on and on. I don't think we have enough time.
I bet you could go on and on. I bet you could. Dr. Mann, I think, you know, we've all realized here, at least within the past handful of years, the importance of preschool options and opportunities for parents, because it certainly seems that if kids aren't getting preschool instruction now, they certainly will be behind, won't they?
Yes, and, you know, all that families can do and all that schools can do to work together, that's going to really strengthen what we have been able to do in the past and continue to grow, I think, these programs is that collaboration. So I appreciated what Tasia was saying about that is really an impacting piece of this, and we're really thankful to have that grant to help us do this.
I obviously had no preschool schooling, so I was behind and still am. It never caught up. So
well, it really wasn't a thing until you said maybe 10, 15 years ago, and then as Tasia had said, it was for more at risk and IEP kids. But
our society's changed. I was just going to say, you know what we're doing, and even in these last 3 years, I think we're all adapting and finding new ways to really provide each other this support. So I think there are some of us who probably were in districts in this area that didn't even go to you know, maybe an older age, didn't even always have kindergarten.
Right.
So having that ability to drop down to earlier years and provide support. And I think not the key element that really impresses me is it's not just the support to the child, but we're really impacting the adults in the children's lives. And that has a major effect on society and literacy overall.
Sure. Yeah. Not only the parents, but the teachers and the administrators at the school as well. Just a fantastic program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mobilizing literacy, a model program, it seems like already, Aaron.
I would assume that others are trying to copycat as best they can.
Shane, before we let you go, Together Forwards, campaign update, my friend.
You know, I appreciate the question, Ron. We have plenty of reason to be excited, and this morning I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, if you will, but we do have homecoming festivities coming up next month, and I look forward to an exciting announcement at that time, perhaps an unveil, if you will, and maybe some future planning that I couldn't be more excited about.
You just sidestepped my question.
Was there a question in there?
Well, we're running out of time, but from now on, we will end our questions with the word question mark.
Question mark. Very good.
So then you know it.
Things are going very well. I couldn't be more proud of the faculty, staff, students on our campus, and all the alumni that help fuel the great work that's going on.
Thanks for joining us, Shane.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Mann.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Brewer.
You are welcome. Thank you.
And Tasia, thanks as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on. And if anybody has questions, they can always look us up at KMLC ESU on our website or on Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah. If you need to know more, just visit them there. Thanks to all for joining us on the Sutherland Studio Line. Sutherland's free in-store pickup is available on thousands of items when you buy online. And thanks to everyone for listening to the on-air chat. We've been brought to you by CB Financial. Retire happy. Retire with CB Financial. See Craig Barnwell at 517 East 6th Avenue. And Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction 342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
AM 1400.